This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello and welcome to a special Oscar nominations edition of the Film Review podcast. Straight after Forrest Whitaker had announced them, Mark Kermode and I started by trying to figure out who'd been nominated for what. Just take us through some top lines, Mark.
Well, essentially what will happen now is that we'll get the printout with, because of course what they do when they do, they read that out, they only read the key awards. So you can't do any of the, this film has got this many, this film's out, because the printout will come through in the next couple of minutes, which has all the other, which is often very surprising, films that you didn't think had done as well as they sounded like they'd done, pick up many in the minor categories. But I think...
So like best music and...
Yeah, best music, best special effects, best costume, makeup, best hair and makeup, all that sort of stuff. Okay, so I think the headlines are obviously that unless I heard wrong, Slumdog Millionaire has indeed come up in the major categories, and correct me if you think that I heard this wrong, that it was there in best film, best director, and Beaufort,
additional screenplay.
For adapted screenplay for Simon Beaufort, who of course was famously the writer of The Full Monty. Now, I think that the best film list actually matches up exactly with the BAFTA best film list, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. I'm also, obviously, Kate Winslet was nominated for Best Actress for The Reader, not for Revolutionary Road. And I think in that case, we knew she was going to get nominated for something. I'm pretty sure he said The Reader, but in that sort of strange melee of things going through, I need to see the list printed out. But that means she's not competing against herself. I would therefore put the following money down. I think that as far as the actress is going to concerned, it's going to go to Angelina Jolie for her performance in Changeling. I think, and write these predictions now down, because as you know, I have a terrible track record with predicting Oscar results. I think as far as best actor is concerned, what I said before the nominations, I think that the warmth of feeling towards Mickey Rourke is so big that, in fact, there is every possibility that Mickey Rourke is going to walk off with it. I would say that for supporting actress, my nod would be for Marisa Tomei. I don't know whether that'll match up with the Academy's thing, but I think it'll be Marisa Tomei. And I think as far as the best film is concerned, it's a very, very open field. Obviously, part of me would absolutely love to see Slumdog win Best Film and Danny Boyle win Best Director. It's up against Benjamin Button, which, of course, was the other great big nominee at the BAFTAs. That got 11 nominations, which was the same number of nominations as Slumdog Millionaire got. I don't think the best film is going to go to, you know, Milk or Reed or anything like that. So I would think it's a title fight between Slumdog and Benjamin Button. And that's something that... be very, very hard to call.
Mayo at bbc.co.uk, love to hear your thoughts on that. Some of the films you won't have been able to see, some of them you will have done. 85058, Mayo at bbc.co.uk. Mark's here for about half an hour.
Can I chuck in one other dead cert? I think that supporting actor, Heath Ledger, there was an interesting moment there. Did you hear that when they said Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, there was a little thing, the people in the crowd went, oh, they made that noise that the Academy made. Oh, really? And of course, really for that? And of course, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the BAFTAs, and there was almost exactly the same noise. So there's obviously a crowd of people going around the world making that fun. Oh, really? Never thought that.
On what other occasions would that noise be appropriate?
Other than Robert Downey Jr. being nominated for the Tropic Thunder.
It's a sort of a Sybil in Fawlty Towers.
Oh, I see, yes, but not when talking to Basil. It's, really? It's when she's on the phone. No, you don't say. Yeah. It was that sort of noise, and that was that. So that's obviously the ooh-er moment. Obviously, congratulations to Martin McDonagh for getting a nomination for the In Bruges screenplay.
I need to ask you a question.
Yeah.
If I wrote this down correctly.
And bear in mind, we're going to preface everything with the phrase, if we wrote this down correctly, until the list comes we should explain to everybody that until the list is actually before you in mind-boggling detail, it is possible to write things down incorrectly.
Best supporting actor list.
Yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is there. In what way can his role be considered a supporting role?
Is he there for Doubt?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I need to see that.
All right.
The interesting thing about the difference between supporting actor and actor and the difference between supporting actress and actress is whether or not that is decided by the film company putting the film forward, or whether or not it's decided by them. We see over here at the BAFTAs, it's decided by the voters. You can decide which category people go in.
But there's no one then. I mean, it's back to Kate Winslet. There is Meryl Streep and there is Philip Seymour Hoffman. There is a fantastic performance from Viola Davis, which is why she got Best Supporting Actress nomination. But there's no other men to consider.
But you are presuming that every film has a leading actor and a leading actress. That's not the case. What they say is that they may be a leading actress and only a supporting actor.
But he is a leading actor. Simon, he is there.
Yeah, you know,
he's the man.
Yeah, you know, and I know that the way that stuff works, it is nonsense. I mean, of course, the greatest nonsense of it was Kate Winslet winning twice at the Golden Globes for a supporting performance and a leading performance when in both those films, she is demonstrably the leading actress.
Tell me why you're pleased about Marissa.
Well, I think Marissa Tomei's role in the rest of it has been sort of rather underrated. I mean, I think that Mickey Rourke's performance is terrific. And the film of the rest of it is all about this guy whose body is on display. And he is, as he says himself in one of his finer soliloquies, he says, "I'm just a broken down hunk of meat." The thing is, it would be one thing to just see a movie in which Mickey Rourke tells everybody he's a broken down hunk of meat. It's a totally different thing when that broken down hunk of meat is mediated through Marissa Tomei's role, because she plays a pole dancing stripper who is also essentially somebody whose body is on display for the delectation of an exploitative audience. But she understands that there is a difference between who she is on stage and who she is off stage. And of course, all the attention's on the wrestler, because the film's called The Wrestler. But it's like The Queen and Mrs. Blair. If you'd called the film The Stripper, it still actually would have, the film would have matched up with the title.
We're hoping to speak to Marissa very, very shortly.
Oh, fantastic.
So you can say all that to her. Steve, apropos of not very much, he
Steve.
Says. Steve on this email. Steve sent the email.
Oh, I thought you said he'd addressed it to Steve. I thought he's emailing the Steve Wright Show. They're not even on for another 10 minutes, and it's a different channel.
From Steve.
Okay.
He says, apropos of not very much, which nominated movie's 10-letter title contains 7 out of 8 of the letters of its star name in order?
What? Do it again.
Which nominated movie's 10-letter title...
The nominated movie today...
Yes, contains seven out of the 8 of the letters of its star name in order. Anyway, it doesn't really matter what I think about Philip Seymour Hoffman, because presumably, as Dee says on this email, all bets off for the best supporting actor has got to be Heath Ledger, hasn't it?
Well, I would think so, and that's what I said just before you sort of launched into that. I would say that is the case. It is worth pointing out...
Do you want the answer, by the way, to that?
Yeah, just repeat the question again, because it was so bafflingly bizarre.
I know. Which nominated movie's 10-letter title, which is the clue, contains 7 out of 8 of the letters of its star name in order? Changeling is the answer, because you can get Angeline without the A.
I
thought it was a lot more interesting than you clearly did.
I really think...
Feel free to express your boredom on air.
But I think people need to get out more. So the key thing here is that if Kate Winslet, therefore, has been nominated for the Oscar... for The Reader, in the Best Actress Award. And I'm just looking to them. Just correct me if this is wrong. If she's been nominated for The Reader and not for Revolutionary Road. That therefore means that what we were all saying about when the Golden Globes happened, that she won for Best Supporting Actress for The Reader and for Best Actress for Revolutionary Road. It is indeed a nonsense. It means that she is now... has won a Golden Globe for a supporting actress for which she is now fighting for an actor, which is, of course, a repetition of what's happened at the BAFTAs. The difference was that at the BAFTAs, she got nominated for both Revolutionary Road and for The Reader, both for supporting actors. So you see what I mean? There's a bizarre sort of... And it means that everything that everyone said about, well, how come she's supporting actress in The Reader when she demonstrably isn't, when you look at the poster for the movie and it's a picture of Kate Winslet's face with a bloke behind her, who happens to be Ralph Fiennes, incidentally, scene never included in film because... those two characters never seen together in that way, certainly not at that age. So you see how political the whole thing gets.
Associated Press is saying that Benjamin Button leads the awards list with 13, including Best Picture.
So we need to see the complete list, but what that therefore means is that it's got, you know, I mean, not unsurprisingly, we've got a number of technicals, because, I mean, Benjamin Button, I mean, I don't like Benjamin Button at all. I think that it is essentially Forrest Gump with A-levels. And it's, you know, I mean, it is Forrest Gump, right?
Forrest Gump had an A-level or two in there.
No, I like Forrest Gump. Yeah. I like Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump with A-levels therefore makes it good.
No. It means Forrest Gump with pretensions.
A-level is not a pretension. An A-level is proof that you're an extremely
bright person.
You know,
when somebody makes a flippant, off-the-cuff comment, obviously when you start taking it apart, it might start...
There has to be truth in what you... You know, it's for it to work, there has to be truth in
it. Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
It's Forrest Gump with sixth-form aspirations. But that's not as funny as Forrest Gump with A-levels. But in the case of Benjamin Button, because the story is, it's inspired by F. Scott Fitzgerald's short story, although there's almost nothing of the short story in there except for, I think, one sentence and the central premise, which is that Brad Pitt lives his life backwards. The interesting thing about the way in which Brad Pitt lives his life backwards is that they've clearly timed it so that Brad Pitt gets to be at his most handsome and hunky in round about the 50s, so he can drive around on a motorbike with
wouldn't a leather
jacket.
No, exactly. Wouldn't you do exactly the same?
Yes, fine. That's when I'm going to look at my best. But it is, on a design level, it is is, you know, very well done. Like, it's for special effects as well, because they do manage to pull off this bizarre trick of having a baby that looks like an old Brad Pitt, which obviously is very complicated.
Jane, on this email, Simon and Mark, I was really looking forward to the Frost Nixon movie, but in every clip that I've seen, Michael Sheen looks so much more like Alan Bastard than David Frost. I find it a little distracting.
Oh, no!
It may be watching the movie that this will not be the case, but at the moment I'm unsure whether or not I will go to see it. Is it me, says Jane? Yes, it is you.
It is
Jane.
You. Now, you were listening to the actor categories, and I think I'm right in saying that that Michael Sheen wasn't up for Best Actor.
Well, now you say that. My scribble says Josh Brolin, RDJ, which is Robert Downey Jr., Philip Seymour Hoffman, big question mark.
Mickey Rourke.
Heath Ledger.
No, best that's supporting actor.
Oh, that's what I was doing.
Yes, and here we are, fine, here we go. So, best actor, Richard Jenkins for The Visitor.
Yep.
Frank Langella, I think that must be Frank Langella, for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. So that does fall in very much with what I said.
Can you give us the best supporting actors?
Yeah, here we go. Best supporting, well, this is incomplete. This says Josh Brolin, Milk, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Doubt, Heath Ledger, The Dark Knight, and I think we also had in there Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, and there is at least one other that we are missing.
And
this is not a complete list.
And my
obviously.
Scribble says M.SH. That wouldn't be Michael Sheen, would it?
Supporting actor?
Yes.
That's a possibility. I wait to see the list so we can find out.
This list is as many. Maybe it's a, moment. Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. Has the world gone mad?
Well, I mean, as I said, it's not unprecedented because it did happen at the BAFTAs and there was that very similar kind of, moment.
Does he deserve it?
Well, I was underwhelmed by Tropic Thunder. I mean, I think it's not as funny a movie as perhaps the premise suggests that it really ought to be. There is, you know, when you see the trailer, you think, I can't believe they've actually done that. And then you see the first 10 minutes of the movie, you think, blimey, they're really going for it. But then, of course, it's a $92 million movie. And when you spend $92 million, it means you can be racy and dangerous for about 25 minutes. And then you basically have to satisfy the mainstream crowd. So I thought it, like so many of those things, it kind of lost its bottle.
Lots to discuss. 850-58-BBC.co.uk. Mark here. It's about 2:15. All Great Films says this, but where was the nomination for Best Film for The Dark Knight, the only unanimously lauded film?
Well, because the other absence from that list was Wall-E, which for a long time was seen as a Best Film contender. I mean, we've seen Waltz with Bashir has gone in there for Best Foreign Language Film, which is not a surprise. I think there was a point as well in which there was some possible feeling that Waltz with Bashir might even be a contender for Best Film. But Wall-E, round about in June when it first came out, people were saying that the fight for the Best Film race is now officially on.
Chris in Chelmsford, backing up your point on that, disappointed that Wall-E didn't make a nomination for Best Picture, although it now leaves my conscience clear to follow Slumdog.
Yeah.
Which would be in there. And of all the ones that Slumdog Squarepants is up for, would you think it's Best Film, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay?
Shot? I would say the best shot is for Adapted Screenplay for Simon Beaufoy.
Because
I... When you get into the big categories, it becomes terribly political, okay? Screenplay is one of those categories when it's slightly less political, and I think that everybody can understand that it's a really good piece of writing, because there's a funny thing. There used to be this rule, which was if a film's got a twist, they remember the script, okay? So basically, it was like the way that anyone would get nominated for a screenplay would be anything like, you know, any movie that had a twist in the end. Everyone would go, oh, it's brilliantly written. Brilliantly written. That was how you got screenplay nominations.
Is it a twist when you go, oh,
look
at that, yeah, he's a ghost.
Or, as in the case of the...
A woman.
He's a ghost, he's a woman, it's a sledge. She's his brother. There we go.
Every movie needs to have a... although this listener thinks this sounds like up Pompeii.
That's it. And I tell you, wouldn't the Oscars be better if Frankie Howard were around to present them, and now on to Best Film. Oh, no, don't titter.
I was supposed to do a 10-minute sequence with Frankie Howard on a... on Comic Relief many years ago. He had a 5-minute script and I had a 5-minute script, just stuff that had been happening for Comic Relief. Okay,
Shannon is the person you're thinking of supporting.
Thank you, it worked in there.
Yeah.
So he gets to the first line of the first page. This is Frankie Howard, in case you've lost the thread of this, and the audience lose it completely. Yeah. And the rest of the time allocated is me saying nothing and Frankie Howard just going, no. Really? Just doing his whole routine, which was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Michael Shannon was what you wrote down for memory for SH, which
not
is for Revolutionary Road. And he is terrific. He used to be at the Steppenwolf Theatre Company and was, of course, first discovered on screen in William Friedkin's Bug.
Lots of Oscar emails. The nominations announced just about 20 minutes ago. Mark's headlines would run like this. What's caught your eye, Mark?
Well,
people have just joined us.
Well, the headlines would be that Slumdog Millionaire has done, as you just heard in those headlines, terrifically well, getting nominated for the major categories, including Best Film, Best Director, and, of course, Best Adapted Screenplay for Simon Beaufoy. And I would say that my money was on Simon Beaufoy winning for that. Although, actually, see, now looking at it, well, he's up against Frost Nixon, which is very hard for Peter Morgan. So I would... Shall I do the ridiculous thing now of telling you who I think is going to win?
No, I think we should end with that.
Because
there are some people saying they want to know all your nominations. So I think we will...
All of them?
Well, for the big...
For the major categories,
for
yeah.
The major
You don't care who I think was to do best hair netting in a period drama?
Really. No.
Okay, that's fine.
We will build up to that because, of course, there was famously that one year where Mark got them absolutely right. Won about tuppence. If he'd put it on an accumulator, he'd have won many thousands of pounds.
And that is called a parable. It was divine providence. It was one of those really weird things.
Thou shalt not bet.
I was brought up as a Methodist and I was told not to gamble. And it was a brilliant way of teaching me not to gamble, which was, it's not that you'll lose, it's that you'll win in a way that's so humiliating, you'll never do it again.
Pauline Barnett, I'm glad Win-A-Lot only got one nomination. If she'd had two nods, she'd be even more unbearable than she is already.
Kate Win-A-Lot.
Yes, Kate Win-A-Lot.
That's very good. Well, Katie Winsett was always serving it for me, but, you know.
Dear Harley Davidson and Cousin Vinny, delighted with Benjamin Button's nomination. A wonderful, magical movie. Really sad that Wall-E didn't get a Best Picture nomination, but glad that the Academy didn't buy into the hype by giving The Dark Knight a Best Picture nomination. I'd love to see Robert Downey Jr. getting the award for supporting acting. His performance was much more daring than the late Heath Ledger's. Come on, anyone playing the Joker is going to grab our notice. By the way, dear Doctor, says...
Yeah, go on. Ian, the corrections begin here.
Benjamin Button has the magic and warmth that Forrest Gump was sadly missing.
No!
It's a beautiful work of art by a great director.
No, it's not. I mean, I think David Fincher is a great director, and I think the film is pompous and full of itself. And as anybody who's seen the film will understand, the moment when Kate Blanchett starts dancing, oh, how she dances, oh, she can't stop dancing, is one of those moments. It's a film. Ooh. When Forrest Gump came out, an awful lot of the kind of the liberal critics, led by...
That's all of them, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, said by a man who accuses me of only reading The Guardian. You think all critics in the world are liberal?
Well, sometimes you splash out.
Yeah, and sometimes you say all critics in the world are liberal, right? You know, that's no. They accused Forrest Gump of being terribly reactionary. And there was a particular piece by... I can't remember, Joe Queenan, who said that that Forrest Gump was absolutely terrible. It was essentially sort of right-wing tract about how it is that, you know, on the one hand, there's the nice moral America, which is Forrest Gump, and on the other hand, there's the amoral revolutionary America, which is Forrest Gump's girlfriend, and she has to come to a terrible end as a result of the film. And I think it's absolute nonsense. I think Forrest Gump, as Danny Boyle once said, any film which begins with a mother attempting to seduce a headmaster in order to find a place for her child at school because she doesn't have the money to pay for it is not... as conservative as it looks. I really like Forrest Gump, but Forrest Gump was thought of as a movie for idiots. It was thought of as a movie for everybody. No, enough is like a box of chocolates. In the Curious Case of Benjamin Button, on three or four separate occasions, Brad Pitt says, you never know what's coming round the corner. And it is like, yeah, that is Forrest Gump, only you look clever.
Trevor says, Simon and Doctor, can't believe that once again Keanu Reeves has been left out of the
field.
Been left out of the animated features category. Nick in New Jersey on Benjamin Button. It's Forrest Gump with an honorary doctorate.
There we go. And that's very good. And that's particularly because it twists the knife in terms of you.
Here's Toby saying, dear George and Dick, as usual, you are utterly wrong, Dick.
Mm-hmm.
In my humble opinion, that is a phrase I've never heard you say.
No.
Angelina Jolie, her of the ludicrous lips, is ludicrously miscast. Who could ever believe that having been through the hell her character was supposed to have been, she would have ended up still resembling this ridiculous, pouting glamour puss, even if by some gigantic stretch of the imagination you could persuade yourself that she once did. First requirement of any film, suspension of disbelief. The casting and presentation of Angelina Jolie in Changeling made this impossible.
Okay.
That's rubbish.
No, I'll answer that immediately.
Sorry.
Firstly, I think that her performance is really good. I think that the high watermark of her performance is still... her role in A Mighty Heart, which was actually overlooked at the Oscars rather appallingly. One of the interesting things about the casting of Angelina Jolie in Changeling, and Clint Eastwood said this, and I think he's right, is she has a period face. She has a face which on camera actually looks like it belongs to the period design of the movie. And it's a very interesting observation. That's what I didn't make it. I'm just simply repeating it, that she looks exactly right for the time and the age. I also think that despite the fact that she is, you know, considered by some to be the most beautiful woman in the world, that Changeling does not play up on that at all. And in fact, I think she... because one of the terrible traits of very sort of physically perfect actors or actresses is to do this thing called uglying up. You know, you want an award, you know, you do the thing that Renee Zellweger did in Cold Mountain. Give me an Oscar! I have messed up my hair! I'm closing one of my eyes and I'm speaking in funny accent with strange teeth! Give me an award! But she's not doing that.
And the extraordinary thing is when you do that, you actually look like Renee Zellweger.
I know. I aspire to looking like Renee beasting Zellweger. Do you know what Renee Zellweger's first major starring role was in?
Surprise me.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4.
Really?
And do you know who she...
Much overlooked at the time.
Do you know who she co-starred with?
Oh, Bill Nye.
Matthew McConaughey. And do you know which of those two performers is proud of being in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4 and which of them wishes they'd never done it?
You mean there's another interesting fact?
Matthew is up for it and Renee is not.
There's a surprise. Phil, Simon, can Mark explain the omission of Changeling in the Best Picture and Best Director categories? A far more solid and well-crafted piece of work, surely, than the likes of The Reader, which annoys me more with each passing day since I saw it.
I'm with you on that.
Well, that's not an explanation.
No, the explanation is they're wrong. I mean, I'm absolutely with you on that.
Extraordinary analysis. Thank you.
No, but do you want me to argue with them just because I agree. In fact, actually, I would say, because if you look at the best picture things, Curious Case, Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk and The Reader, well, I would say neither Milk nor The Reader deserve to be up there. I would say that certainly Changeling has more of a right to be in there than either of those two titles.
Peter, who's our regular listener in Prague.
Yes.
Simon and Mark just tuned in to have my whole week thrown out of kilter. Wittertainment on a Thursday. It's as freaky as fish and chips for breakfast. Nonna in Inverness about Benjamin Button. I seem to recall that Robin Williams aged backwards in, I think it was Mork and Mindy years ago on television.
Did somebody else mention that?
Nothing new, I remember it because I found it
creepy. Somebody else mentioned that. Is that right?
I don't remember that. I remember Nano, and that Robin Williams was pretty funny, and learning since then that he was absolutely out of his head most of the time when he was filming it.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he's
I didn't know that.
Well documented to have had a few problems.
I just didn't know that was happening whilst he was making so Best Motion Picture of the Year. It's exactly right. I mean, yes, and Milk shouldn't be there, Reader shouldn't be there, Slumdog Millionaire obviously should be there, but there we go. But it does, I'm pretty certain, match up absolutely exactly with the BAFTA list.
Interesting. This is interesting. Glasgow ecstatic about In Bruges, tightest script of the year. That should get a mention that that's had a...
No, I did. I did already say it. Well, let's say it again because it's in for... it must be Best Original Screenplay. Let me just find...
And it's one of those Oscar-nominated movies which you can actually buy already on DVD.
Yeah, original screenplay, Martin McDonagh for In Bruges. So he's up against Frozen River, Happy-Go-Lucky, of course, written by Mike Lee, Milk, Dustin Lance Black, we had on the programme just last week, and Wall-E. Now, In Bruges...
If you're trying to remember, by the way, Dustin Lance Black was the guy, when we were talking to
was
him...
Was the one
Gus
who
Van
sounded
Sant,
exciting and interesting.
Black was engaged. Gus Van Sant was the guy who was on his BlackBerry the whole time and hence sounded a little bit bored with the whole proceedings.
Yeah, but then again, he is the guy who made Last...
Robin Williams aged fast in Jack.
He did age fast, but not backwards.
Not backwards.
No, and actually Jack was a terrible, terrible film.
One of the many.
That was one of Francis Ford Coppola's massive missteps. Yes, absolutely congratulations to Martin McDonagh for In Bruges. And in fact, I wouldn't put it past In Bruges winning. The only thing that I would say that might count against it is that since Wall-E has not turned up in the best film category, but obviously is in the best animated film category, there may be the feeling that, well, you know what, it deserves to win everything else, because do not underestimate just how much people really wanted Wall-E in the, you know, earlier on in the year to be a Best Picture contender. And of course there hasn't been a Best Picture animated winner ever, and I think the last time a Best Picture was an animated movie was nominated for Best Picture, I think it was something like it wasn't the Little Mermaid. It was the Disney film with all the dancing.
Beauty and the Beast.
Thank you very much. Was it Beauty and the Beast?
Nick Dunkirk.
Somebody write in and tell me it's one of those classics.
Toy Story?
No, not Toy Story. No.
Beauty and the Beast was definitely nominated.
In that case, it's Beauty and the Beast.
Toy Story 3 on the way, because John Lasseter said so.
Toy Story 3D.
Yes, and they're redoing 1 and 2 in 3D.
Yeah, but that's it's a different thing. Retrofitting to 3D is not the same as making in 3D.
You know, maybe you'll be converted to Star Wars, you never know, by seeing what George Lucas does with...
Star Wars in 3D. Can you imagine that wooden acting in three dimensions? That'd be amazing. Actually, before it looked cut out, now it looks like a forest. That's brilliant.
Stephen on this. Simon, is this the first time a husband and wife have been nominated for Best Actor and Actress in the same year?
Brad Pitt and Angelina. I'll say off the top of my head, almost certainly not. I can't believe that in the... sort of 30s and 40s that didn't happen. When did the Oscars start? Was it 40s? So it wouldn't have happened in
they
started before that.
Hasn't happened for a long time.
No, but then again, somebody was asking whether, you know, it's ever been the case that somebody was nominated for Best Actress, you know, twice and competing against themselves. And of course that has happened before. And in fact, I think Winslet has competed against herself before, hasn't she?
We are going to be ending up with all of your key picks, just in case one more time you've got absolutely everything right. We are hoping to speak to Mr. Marissa very, very shortly.
To Teresa Murray.
Teresa, she is.
Is she going to be there with Marissa Tomei as well?
She is.
They're both great in that film.
It's going to be an extraordinary double. Has any film missed out completely? Is there going to be someone somewhere going, harumph, you know what, they've
Of course, the big harumph for me, and of course it happened at the BAFTAs as well, is that Terry Davis's Of Time in the City. I mean, I don't even know whether that's played in America.
Remind us of Time in the City, which
is Terence Davis, as you described it so thrillingly, a black and white documentary about Liverpool. Why would I want to see that?
It was the way you described it.
Dumbing down, even as we speak. No, because that was overlooked hugely in the BAFTAs. It turned up only in the Carl Foreman Award, which was a real. Because the other thing was, I had said at the BAFTAs that I was pretty certain that Son of Rambo was going to get some major nods, and of course it didn't. Those two were both overlooked, and of course similarly overlooked in the Oscars, but then that's not a surprise. But all of that is balanced by the fact that, you know, look at that. You've got the best motion picture list has got Slumdog Millionaire in it. You've got the best director list, it's got Danny Boyle in it. You've got the best adapted screenplay, it's got Simon Beaufoy in it. I mean, wind the clocks back to just before Christmas, when Slumdog was first starting to come out of the closet after having lost its US distributor and everybody wondering what on earth was going to be made of it. It's amazing. I mean, it's a full Monty style, you know, success story.
Now you get your chance to say hello, Marissa.
Hello, Marissa.
Hello.
Hey, there we are. Hello, Marissa. Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you.
You must be absolutely thrilled as we are here.
I'm pretty happy, yes.
I just want to, before the good doctor has some incisive questions for you, Marissa, I just want to read out a couple of listeners' reactions to the fact that you've got a nomination, Best Supporting Actress. David in Leeds, dear Doctor in the TARDIS, I don't have any searching questions or observations for you to put to Marissa. My anodyne comment nevertheless contains a fact beyond contest. She's fabulous. There you go. That's the analysis that we do here. And Simon in Exeter, glad Marissa got a nomination, as she was just as important as Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. There's only one person that will pick up the supporting actor, and it would be like George Romero making a new movie again, be awarded to Heath Ledger. Also, it's a shame Michael Sheen got stiffed again. Anyway, in general, Marissa, the reaction has been very positive. Were you really, really sitting there with fingers crossed? I mean, what were you thinking this morning?
No, I mean, I was in bed and... we were asleep, and the phone rang, and it was my best friend from New York, and she sounded like she was crying, and I was like, what's going on? and she said, you got it, and I was like, Caroline, are you sure? Because nobody else has called me, and I know you love me, but are you sure? Like, I just saw it on TV, and then she panicked and was like, wait, let me look it up online. because she was so overcome and excited, and it was actually perfect that the news should be delivered.
Do you mean to say you weren't watching it?
No, I wasn't watching it, no.
No, I think that was inherent in her saying that she was asleep, Simon. It's not possible to watch and be asleep at the same time.
I would just think if you're up for, you know, if there's a reasonable shot of you getting an Oscar nomination, you'll have set the alarm early and you'd have had all your mates around and you've...
Yeah, but you have to remember, Marissa...
But then what happens if you don't? And then, I don't know, you just don't know how you're going to feel.
And anyway, of course, you've been there before with the Oscars. You've done all that. You've tried. You've moved on to other things now. Presumably, getting an Oscar nomination is just like, well, it's just one of those things that happens to you.
Well, it's not quite that, but it is a very, very good day. Believe me. But I just came from the inauguration as well. That was just, you know, 2 days ago, and I just got in from Washington. So after that, it's just all whipped cream, you know.
On the subject of whipped cream, let me just very quickly say,
because this going to get?
No, because the thing that I was saying earlier on, and I've said that, and Marissa Simon, who is sitting here, will guarantee, I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone. The fact of the matter is, with The Wrestler, which is getting terrific responses everywhere, to two things that need to be sort of flagged up alongside Mickey Rourke's performance, which I think is terrific, and incidentally I think he's going to win, is that Darren Aronofsky has done a terrific job directing that movie, and he's the guy who's pulled it together. And secondly, if it wasn't for the character that you play, the character that Mickey Rourke plays wouldn't seem in anything like as sympathetic, because both the characters are similar in that they're both people who have their bodies on display for the audience. The difference is the character you play understands the difference between being on stage and off stage, whereas Mickey Rourke's character doesn't.
Thank you for saying all that. That's what I usually say.
I was thinking, after all that, at least we might get a question. But you just left it there. So Marissa just said, yes, you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Simon. This is the incisive kind of film criticism we do here at the BBC. Marissa's only just woken up.
She's
been up 5 minutes. Somebody rang her up to tell her she'd got nominated.
Marissa's wishing she'd gone back to bed. Anyway, Marissa, so now that you're up, now that you're wide awake, now that you know that you've got a nomination, that's going to be the day gone, hasn't it? The whole world is going to be outside your house.
To go to work today, so it's kind of a perfect thing, because it's always a good humbling and steadying thing to put your nose to the grindstone.
And when you say you're going to work, what's that? You're teaching in a bank or what?
No, I'm working on a film. I have to go be with the directors and the designers, and we're starting shooting in less than a week.
Simon, let me explain this.
Yes.
They do refer to acting as work. I mean, I know that you think it is basically, but
usually
they do. They call it work.
Work.
Yes, exactly. Or between jobs. That's how it's generally referred to, is the phrase.
Listen, Marissa, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And all the best for the ceremony. That's some story, isn't it? To know that you're in with a shout, but actually not even wake up and have a little private moment listening to the radio.
Yeah, but how marvellous that she then woke up and had me explaining the movie to her. Yeah. I think that must have pretty much been
she
the show.
She sat
the court,
there for a long, rambling explanation of how great she was, and then she just had to agree with it.
Yeah, but that's fine, terrific. You know.
Let's wrap up our Oscar conversation, Jack, on this in Oxford.
Yes.
Dear Curious Case and Benjamin Button, I'm delighted that Angelina Jolie has been nominated. They're not surprised. It's a spectacular performance done with subtlety and power. Disappointed that Changeling has not been given greater support. However, there is an issue with Angelina Jolie in the film, when at the end, the portly, balding, but well-meaning man from The Office asks her out for dinner. With all respect to the good gentleman, I think Angelina's a little out of his league.
Yeah, on the other hand,
that's the movies, isn't it?
Angelina did spend time with me and then tell me that she was going to go home and tell Brad Pitt how to fix his hair. So,
yeah,
you know.
But you believe that for a moment.
Hang on, do you think she was making it up?
Yeah, probably.
Do you always break things like that to your friends?
Dr. Ravi Shankar, BSc, MA, PhD. James Marsh has been nominated for Man on Wire, and he's a Brit and deserves
a mention. Fantastic. So what's he been nominated in the best documentary category? Let me have a look, I hope.
Best
documentary feature. Yes, there we go. You see, this is the joy of having the long list. Best documentary feature, The Betrayal, Encounters at the End of the World, The Garden, Man on Wire, and Troubled Water. Well, that is wonderful, because Man on Wire, as you know, was one of my favourite films of last year. That is absolutely fantastic. So congratulations, James Marsh and Simon Chin, both. Mentioned there, because obviously they're the producers. So well done. It's an absolutely brilliant thing. And you're quite right that although the subject is a Frenchman and the location is America, it is indeed a British production.
So for those who fancy it, give us your tips for these key categories, sort of supporting actress, supporting actor,
okay,
best actor, best actress, director and best movie. Would they be the big ones?
Yeah, I think so. So here's what I would, you know, what I would go for. Bear in mind, you know, stocks can go up and down, and I've never been
right. We realise you might be wrong, Mark.
Best actor, Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. Supporting actor, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight. Actress, Angelina Jolie for Changeling. Supporting actress, Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. Animated feature, WALL-E. Adapted screenplay, Simon Beaufoy for Slumdog Millionaire. Original screenplay, now that I think is a really hard category to call, but I'm actually going to say Martin McDonagh for In Bruges. Best film, Slumdog Millionaire. And now here's the sucker punch. Best director, I think, is absolutely knife-edge between Danny Boyle and David Fincher. What they might do is say, we'll give the best film to Slumdog, but actually we're going to give Benjamin Button the nod by giving that the best director. And I think that's the splitter. So I would say overall, I would incline to say best director Danny Boyle, best film Slumdog. But I think there is a possibility that what will happen is that Fincher will prevail in the director category. That has happened in the past. Ooh. The split between the director... Robert Downey Jr. been nominated. That has happened in the past, and I think there's a possibility of it happening again. I mean, I would think everybody would be looking at that and going, that's a real balancing act between those two. I mean, obviously the right answer is director Danny Boyle film Slumdog Millionaire, because Slumdog Millionaire good, Benjamin Button not good, well directed but still not good.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.